call the TRP meeting to order at 5:35 and do roll call.
Linda Johnston.
Ann Gaywood.
And Mike Jensen. And we have excused Justin Cutler and Linda Smith. So the next thing is Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So you don't need to call me back.
Did you call me?
Yeah. Left your message.
Just now?
No.
Okay.
No, about 4 o'clock or something like that.
Excuse me.
Okay. Don't call him back.
How long?
added agenda items.
See if you would come.
Ms. Linda.
I would like to add, and it can be at the end, if we could just kind of talk about how we process the applications from the time they're submitted to the city and the application process, interviewing and all of that.
Okay, are you talking about kind of a workflow type of piece? Okay. You said you had something else.
Yeah, and then kind of somewhere towards the beginning, I'd like to talk a little bit about, I need some clarification on kind of the focus of this group, so I'd kind of like to talk, just kind of, and it's, this is good because we don't have a lot of people around here, and I can just talk about my feelings, and you can straighten me out or say that's a good point or get lost, which...
Well, let's jump right into it then. Well, I think what I'd like to do is just talk real quick about focus, and then we will talk to Dan and go over the visitor center's application, and then
do we want to approve the minutes first?
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, let's do that.
He's down.
Jumping the gun here. Any additions or changes?
Not that I could see.
I'm fine with it.
Okay. Motion to approve.
So moved.
Second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
By the way, 3 is a quorum.
I figured we'd be home by now.
Well,
nice,
but we're
going to
talk on by yourself.
Thank you.
Okay. Focus on the group.
Okay. Hi. Now, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and I don't want to be on the attack or anything. I'm just having a problem by what we started out several years ago and what it has become now. Mm-hmm. Because when we started out several years ago, it was Linda Stevenson, me, Gina Swearin, and someone else I don't remember. I don't remember if it was Mr. Dees before he became mayor or something, but there was a gentleman that came to one meeting and he left. And of course, we had to start advertising and make everybody aware of the TRT funds, but basically we were just an advisory committee and we were supposed to be screening. And we had like 2 applications, and that was it.
Good.
And then, and it was real easy for somebody to come and apply. We sat them at the table with us. We said, what does your group do? Help us through this process. We're learning too. And we'd sit down, well, maybe we could get you qualify here, but this wouldn't qualify. And of course, now we've got really involved things where you're trying to weed out the rodeo and $15,000 here and $50,000 there. But it has become so hard for the little people that have other events other than Frontier Days and everything to go through all this to make application when they can just go to the visitor center and Dan can do that. And I really, and I know you guys worked really hard, so don't start throwing things at me, okay? I have a real problem when you take someone who qualifies, say they ask for $2,000, and the only thing that comes in under state statute is $1,500 that actually qualifies for tourism. Mm-hmm. And we've all agreed on that. And then you cut them back for a narrative, or because you don't think they brought enough people in, or because the appropriateness of the marketing and all of this, I don't actually think we can do this. I don't know how legal that is.
You mean the points thing?
Well, cutting everybody back and cutting them off because I don't think we're very friendly and open to and fair. Because if they go to Dan, he gives them all of his attention and works with them like that car club. I mean, the car racing car. We spent 2 full meetings on them. And then sent them to Dan to tweak it out. So,
well, that I sort of agree with that. I missed the one meeting. But it didn't even occur to me until it was brought up to me about being a nonprofit organization. And Trent Elliott Racing is... He's just a race car
guy that wants to race his car.
Yeah. And so I agree with all the advertising aspects of going through the tourism center, but basically what probably should have happened in the get-go is, say, I'm sorry, but you just don't qualify.
Well, but I'm not sure they
But
don't.
I'm not sure.
And
see,
not
we don't
sure
really clarify that. We don't really clarify that to people.
Here's the way I see what we're doing, and I agree with what you said about the way it originally started from what everyone has told me. The way I see what we are doing is we are sitting here on Thursday nights because those guys are here almost every Wednesday night and have enough to do. That's number one.
Right.
Number two, we're doing, the job of the committee has grown and changed over the period of 4 years when it first started. Number one, the pot of money has grown larger.
Right.
And
we have more people applying.
We have more people applying.
Bigger sums.
So I'll have to look into, the ordinances or the statutes and talk about, nonprofits and things like that. But I guess what I have to say about that is that I don't necessarily agree that, some smaller group couldn't come in and apply. Now, to just talk to a couple of your examples, the racing group, they didn't apply. I mean, they just plain didn't qualify when we first talked to them, when we told them.
Oh, the racing car.
Race
okay.
Car. And we told them, you just don't plain qualify. However, we liked the idea, and we think that if you went back and talked to somebody who knows how to market things,
right,
who knows how to work the tourism piece, that you could come up with something that will qualify, and guess what? They did. Another good example. last week, we had the Karate Association come in.
Right.
Now, they're doing a tournament.
Right.
And they're not a 501c3. They're not a nonprofit. Neither is Jade's Jazz, for that matter. And I don't know that I would have just, originally I thought, well, geez, they're a karate school. Why are they asking for money from us? And then I found out, hey, they've got a tournament.
Yes, because
it's bringing people in.
Justin told us that.
Tournament brings
yep.
people in. So they were here kind of doing some scouting.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I see our role is, number one, we're working at the pleasure and as an extension of the city council. And I see our job as being stewards of the funding to some degree, because I think is it not only our job to sort through the minutiae of the applications and the requirements and all that stuff, but also to help and partner with the applicants to formulate something that's good for Lapine.
Right.
And that's what I see.
I agree with
that. That's kind of where I see what we're doing now. So, whether or not...
Is there some piece of this that you...
Yeah,
were,
I don't know if you were at that meeting or not, but, you know, well, first of all, I think we ought to adopt, if you truly feel that we're an extension of the city council, I think we need to act like the city council and maybe follow some of the way that they do their group, too. Everybody's welcome to the table. And we did that. Last week was beautiful. That's a good example of being hospitable and trying to get every... And what's good for Lapine. We talked about that. That was a wonderful meeting. But I also think, too, that one of the biggest things was having the race car people show up. I you can correct me, Mayor and Councilman, but didn't you make a decision that nothing would be, I mean, you're open and welcoming and everything, like when all those people came for the Pine Forest Amendment thing was that Gene Risnot wrote and all that kind of stuff. You just said, you know, we can't make a judgment call on that tonight. We need to analyze the information and all that kind of stuff. And I think that would alleviate a little bit of taking up a whole hour of time, whether it's the city council or us, too.
I guess I'm not quite sure what the issue is, because I've...
That we weren't prepared.
Okay, well, I don't disagree. However, that being said, we weren't prepared. And,
right.
And because we didn't know, I mean, we could have a marching band come in here tonight and ask us for money playing, you know,
right,
playing all their instruments. It's a public meeting and it's advertised, everything's
right,
public. So we could be prepared. We can't be prepared for everything. All we can do is be prepared for what we have on our agenda and what we add to our agenda.
Okay.
And as a group, we decided to talk to them and to see what they had to say. So, if you've got objections...
I don't have objections for... Maybe this could be resolved when we talk later on about how we're going to process applications.
Okay.
People who... But a couple of other things, the more that I thought about things that were brought up and then we voted on them... And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, how does that work? When the car club came in and they could only prove that they brought 50 people in that came from out of town, so out of 120 or 100 and whatever it was, so then you were going to cut back their funds, you weren't going to give them all that they were, that they could get, that they qualified for, then we have to follow that through for everybody else, too. If the rodeo brings in 300 people a day or 400 or whatever it is, certainly all of those are not staying in town. There's not room for them. So do we cut where do we get cutting back the...
Well, I think, didn't that went basically to those items, but the T-shirts in particular... That were given away, that were handed out to those people, and we had to have a sense of, you know, because they were asking us to pay for the T-shirts. Well, that's fine, but I don't think this money should pay for 100% of the T-shirts. We needed a sense of the percentage of their participants that came from out of town so that we could come up with a money determination. They're asking for $1,000. We say we can't give you $1,000. They say, how much can you give us? Well, we need to have a way to base our decision. And our decision is, well, if you bring in 40% of your participants are from out of town, and so they're going to take those T-shirts out of town, and that will become advertising then for Lapine out of the 50-mile radius, then we give you 40% of the $1,000. We have to have some way to base, to justify why we're not going to give them $1,000. How else are we going to do that? Because we really can't
we're not going to buy t-shirts for the people in Lapine. That's not what this money is for.
Okay.
So I understand what you're saying, but I think that was specific. We needed to know that, and they were perfect because they actually know how many people are out
there. But see, that's it. They're the only ones that we've ever received any tracking from.
Well, but see, now Frontier Days asks for money for certain things, but we don't ask for 100% of the t-shirts. Because we know that half the t-shirts are going to go out of town and the other half are going to stay in.
Of the giveaways that you're giving to.
Yeah, so our figure already has that built in because we know how the process works.
And we just started this year with this year's application asking for surveys and things like that and asking for marketing information, things like that. And I think to some degree you're taking certain examples and just kind of putting them in their own little silo a little bit, because we haven't even gotten into the 800-pound gorilla in the room and what the
right.
Cares. But I remember clearly last year we had Frontier Days came with their application, or
you put them all together so you could use the marketing money, and that was very good.
The example I was going to give is that there were things like, I don't remember, scholarship money was in their budget, or a crown or a sash,
yeah,
or things
you can,
like that.
Yes, right.
And that's mm-hmm. the same thing that we would cut that money down as we would that Ann was mentioning about the car club brings in 50% of their people. They're asking for $2,000. That means if they only bring in 50% of the people from out of town, they're asking for $2,000. Then, in my mind, a quick calculation says, okay, so they're eligible for 1,000 based on that 50% calculation. Now, let's dig into this and see what they're actually qualified for.
And the application actually is laid out that way. You know, the Excel program has that. You know, that you, how much are you going to spend on t-shirts, and how much are you asking for? Are you actually asking for? And so they need to be educated that we can only pay for stuff that comes from 50 miles away, and so we're not going to pay for the whole thing of the t-shirts. You need to estimate to us.
So say they got 120 applicants and everybody got a free giveaway Lapine t-shirt. You're only going to pay for the ones that are 50 miles out.
Yeah, and you can just use a percentage. We're not going to pay for 52 t-shirts, but we can pay for 40% of what they're...
And I don't know if they're part of the registration package. So if somebody, like the car club, if they pay $100 to get into the show, and as part of their package they get a t-shirt, then part of the money they're paying for is for that t-shirt. So we have to look at, okay, where does it all balance out?
Okay.
Well, we're offsetting, we're adding to their profit, to the car club's profit by...
And the way I see it is we're not here to add to people's profit, we're here to promote people coming in.
Okay.
But we're doing that at the same time. I don't know...
Don't disagree. Don't disagree. It's kind of splitting hairs.
Yeah, it really is.
Can we move?
Sure.
Does that help some of your questions?
Okay.
And we can circle back around, but Dan, let's invite you in, and again, do you guys have any comments on any of that? Or?
If I could, just, I've kind of been thinking about some of the same things that Linda's talking about. It's an awkward thing, and quite frankly, I don't ever remember a time when it was easy. Because Jeremy set all this up in the beginning, and maybe it was just the visitor center that had to go through all the hoops in the beginning.
You were the only ones that did.
And then maybe they handed off some stuff to some other people, but then I think people saw that it had to be more equal playing field or something, because we were required to do these reports and submit all, some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is how this has developed, but... if I could just throw out some just things I've been thinking about. I think it's really easy to get off track here because we all love a good thing and we want to support it. But I don't think the tourism dollar, the state, this money is allocated. The city feels like it's their money, but it's really allocated by the state and it's dictated as to what it can be used for.
Exactly.
Regulations. And so we've got to conform to that, but we have room for some interpretation, and every city does it different. And when I just went to a tourism conference, I talked to about four different people.
Oh, good.
And some of them have almost nothing like this. I mean, some of them just have they just give it to the visitor center or the chamber, whatever they have in there, and they just deal with it. And then other ones have some other criteria. So all of them don't have the visitor center in there. Some of them are dealt with strictly from, like, COVA. And then COVA has a system kind of like this that they'll do, not COVA, but I mean a regional association.
Just to jump in,
yeah.
Sun River, they get money, TRT money, from COVA, which comes from Redmond, Ben, Sisters,
mm-hmm.
wherever.
Yeah, and they have to really account for it.
Well, they
with
do.
With Alana, don't
but
they?
Well, I don't know. But I will tell you this. Sun River doesn't submit an application, anything like what Dan's putting together. And I'll be honest with you, they are pretty much running their chamber on that money. We're not doing that.
No, and I wanted to say one more thing.
Yeah.
We're not paying the visitor center for the amount of time, because I would say 80% of everything goes on in that chamber office is tourism, mm-hmm. and they're only charging for 50%. And I know that for a fact that everybody in there is pushing tourism.
But we're subsidizing the chamber, actually, and we can't continue to do it, but the chamber is subsidizing the tourism stuff by about $5,000 a year.
Yeah.
And
that's one reason we're trying to, from a chamber perspective, to come up with other revenue streams.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
Well, so there's lots of ways to handle it. And Jeremy is really he set the structure up for this in the beginning and probably made it overly onerous for everybody, mm-hmm. you know, as far as that goes. But we're a new city. I think a lot of the things we did were...
He's a lawyer.
Huh?
He's a lawyer.
Yeah.
And
I don't think he had any experience with TRT stuff. And so, you know, he wanted to go by the best way, and he's a conservative lawyer, and so he set it up, and that's what we've been working with. So I get that, but here's what bugs me. It's like this karate outfit. They are getting the results that we're working so hard to get, but they can't qualify for any support. And the same way with they're getting 200 people in. They're filling every bed in town for 2 nights.
Mm-hmm. On an other than 4th of July weekend, which is so important.
Yes. And so here they are. They're maxing out our capacity,
mm-hmm.
and they're accomplishing what our goals are. By the way, I think that we are being successful because the TRT dollars are increasing, and I think that's because we've purposefully been approaching that. You know, but see, there's something wrong with the system, and I think we're kind of handcuffed by the state statutes,
mm-hmm.
because they're not doing one iota. I talked to them, by the way, mm-hmm. Joe,
mm-hmm.
and they are not doing one iota of anything that qualifies. They're not doing any marketing.
Wow.
The people are going to come here whether you give them any money or not.
It's like a little league tournament.
It is like a little league.
They come because of strictly because of the event. They don't have to market it. They just have to tell people it's so happening.
So perhaps, and see, all those people are coming from Nevada, mm-hmm. and it's...
Well, they're staying in the motels. Why don't they qualify? It's an event.
It's not...
Well, but they're not...
It's not a tourism event. So I think what it is I think there's a certain base out there that somehow takes... These kind of things must be occurring in most communities on a regular basis, and so there's some kind of a base, and I'm thinking that what we're supposed to be doing with this tourism dollars is trying to increase
incremental,
I think. Yeah. But I do feel like, so here's something that I wondered about. Isn't there a way to have a sponsorship of some amount? And really, maybe that should come out of the 30% that the city retains or something, but mm-hmm. there should be a sponsorship for events like that helps them keep on doing what they're doing and maybe grow it a little bit or whatever. Joe doesn't know if it can grow, but it, you know, it's like they have it's like a meet where you go there and then they come here and then you go over here, you know.
But here's a good example.
I don't understand why they don't qualify. They're bringing people in here to fill up the motel, aren't they?
Here's a good example.
Well, by what we're asking in the application, we're attributing points to the amount of marketing, for instance.
But even before
and they're not doing that.
But even before that, the state talks about marketing and stuff. They talk about.
But here's a good example. Because I understand and I sympathize with where your heart's coming from. That being said, I also feel that it's not like the it's not like the soup kitchen. You know, everybody doesn't get soup until you run out. Somebody's got to be out there doing the work. Somebody's got to be out there generating normal type of business and income.
Mm-hmm.
And a good example might be something like the high school. High school homecoming game fills up the stands. Maybe there's, I don't know.
Well, that's true. Grandma and grandpa stay over.
They come in from Cook County or Madras or wherever. It's 50 miles away. Some of them probably stay overnight. So does that mean that Jay Matheson or Bob Metcalf can come in here and ask us for money? Of course it doesn't. They can't. They don't qualify. But that being said, they're still doing something for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, you know, we all do things for the community. We're volunteering our time. Does that mean we can submit an invoice and get paid for it?
Well, something like a karate tournament, they do have costs associated with their event that the high schools wouldn't necessarily. They're probably going to have some sort of a packet that they give out to the people coming in. At the very least, they're going to have schedules and that sort of thing.
And that's going to cost
them
space.
That's going to cost them money. Yeah, rent a space.
They need to have
their
feed them while they're here, you know.
Yeah, those sorts of things. So maybe, I don't know, do we come up with some sort of a standard amount that we give to an organization like that to help offset some of those costs?
Well, there's another criteria that I wonder about. Now, if you have a fixed amount of participants and their families come, and that's all, you know, there too, but you really don't, it's not really open. He says it's not open to the public. They don't really want the public to come in. It's not, there's no way to grow it except by adding, you know, people that are competitors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a track, mm-hmm. It's like a private track field meet thing. But again, I get back to the thing, they're accomplishing what we're working so hard
trying to do. Little League.
Little League
used to have tournaments
like
with service.
Yeah.
But
I guess I maintain that's normal, healthy commerce.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for doing that. Thank you for doing it in our backyard. And over and above all this discussion, I think at some point it's probably not a bad idea for this committee to get together with the council and just say, okay, city's got this 30% coming in. Right now it's going all into the general fund to pay bills and things like that. Does it make sense for that to happen, or does it make sense to set up some type of a contingency whereby the city can help support businesses like that, whether it's, I don't know, just an ad in the paper or, you know, something else or you know, a banner that says the city of Lapine welcomes, you know, the Karate Kid or whatever.
Well, look at what they did. Where would Frontier Days do if the city hadn't given them their temporary tents? Because we couldn't have done that, because a temporary anything we can't fund.
Yeah.
Or Linda Stevenson for her beautiful flagpole.
That's exactly what I mean.
So
they haven't set aside that money, but they found money in the budget, and that's pretty much what happened that night.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? They were just saying, well, we've got X amount of dollars in this fund, X amount of dollars in that fund, we're not using this, and
mm-hmm.
Rick knew the money, he knows the numbers, like the back of his hand, and he just said, okay, we can do it.
Yeah.
So what do you think as counselors, does that sound, would you be open to the Karate Club and the Little League, for instance, and some of those types of groups that really don't come in under this and the city council?
I'm interested in hearing what Ken says, but one thought I have about that whole thing is, about the whole thing is there's a finite amount of dollars, and there's not a finite amount of possibilities of giving it away.
Right.
So that yeah. poses a problem, because where do you draw the line?
Yes.
You're concerned about people coming in and not getting something, but is it reality? Everybody doesn't. This is not communism. You know, we live in a place
not
where...
Not everybody gets a piece
not
of
Not everybody...
Crumb.
You don't split every piece up so everybody gets a crumb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to look at who's being productive getting results, you know. But then it has to be results according to the law, so it's complex. Anyway, sorry, Edgy.
No, I've followed this a long time, and I've got some real serious heartburns over the whole program. So I'm not going to say a lot, but because, you know, when it gets to the council, then I'm going to talk. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to be doing it a different way. So, but to speak to this thing about, Mike said it very well about, you know, you've got tournaments, don't qualify. Mm-hmm. They are normal forms of events.
They're really basically an extension of an ongoing program.
They're things that are going to happen whether or not anyway. Mm-hmm. They don't lend themselves, they don't want the public necessarily. Mm-hmm.
The people do it.
They are here as a group, and
yeah.
therefore,
mm-hmm.
you know, do I even think that they ought to be considered for, you know, the 30% or coming in and asking for... No, I've got some reservations there. I won't say no. I've got some reservations there because that's just not what that money's for. They're
uh-huh.
a closed group. So
if there was something specific relating to that, maybe, like we needed the tent, you know, there's some of those things. But just to do it, just to be nice guys.
But see, there's another issue about the tent. You know, Frontier Days can't be Frontier Days without that tent.
Right.
And everybody that's coming from out of town is going to be part of
okay.
using that tent.
Absolutely.
Therefore, as far as I'm concerned, the tent qualifies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you can't break a unit down and say, well, this does and this doesn't, because that serves everybody that comes.
But according to state statutes, it has to be a permanent structure that will be there forever. Now, if they built a building,
qualify,
but a temporary one does not.
Well, I think that, and there is, I understand that. I understand what that was said before, but I think there's some, I think that's something you could look long at, you know.
Well, there's no doubt the statutes are right for it.
The other thing about the 30%
interpretation.
And to your honor.
I believe that we are where we are today because this has not been something that has been managed as well as it could have been over the last several years. Now, having said that, that takes me over to the budget. The budget was worked on from when I was on the budget committee to a different version. We know the 30%'s in there, and like you say, Rick, and I believe that one of the most important things a counselor can do is to know the budget. Rick knows it. And there is that money in there. And there will be, we've talked about this, there will be a program that the council and the council, I'm not just talking about Ken, I'm talking about the council's discussed this, that we will have a program that will have finite money in it. For the flags, for the projects, for the things that somebody can come in and say, you know, we're going to do this, and we would like to have some support. We want it to be tied, I would want it to be tied to bringing something in from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Or being specific to enhancing us from those who come in from the outside. So, but he, Dan was on the right point there when he was leading to the fact that Jeremy wrote this up. I think it's complicated. I think it makes things difficult, not only to administer, but for people to come to and sit down and say, look,
we need help.
We need help. Mm-hmm. And here's what we want to do. And I've got some serious questions around. You're saying, okay, how many people are you going to bring in? Well, we brought in 50% last time. Okay, well, this time, we're only going to give you this amount of money. Wait a minute. You're presupposing it to be that you're not going to do any better than you did last year. I think there's some inherent problems.
Well, and there's circumstances that are not even related to whatever list hours is. I mean, when gas prices go up, numbers might drop, you know, so there's stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So but I think it does give you something to consider, you know.
So that's enough for me, because I'm going to look at the ORS and whatever the rest of the TRT rules are.
Yeah, it's the TRT.
But I can tell you, I've read them.
Yeah, it's pretty
and simple. It talks about a tourist that's coming to this town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not talking about some idea that somebody might see something out in the world and think, oh, gee, I want to go to La Pine.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about an event or something that's going to happen in this town, and it's going to bring a tourist in there.
Like Frontier Days, Zodio, the Congress.
Get outside of that. I've got a real serious problem.
It really goes strictly to marketing.
To bring more people in here.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's supposed to be about.
Yeah.
And so that... Oh,
no, I'm done.
So the other thing that... Say it's a little hard, you know, for me now, because the application is modified a little bit from what it was last time, and so I'm really not 100% sure what you guys want to see, but
well, we're not either.
I have a bunch of stuff here that
I just want to thank you for putting this all together, because the last couple of years you've done this, and Frontier Days and the rodeo and all of them, that has been a real wise choice.
It's my last.
Oh, I'm saving a lot of money.
Trust me.
I knew that. And besides, he does all the work. Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah.
He's got the resources.
Thanks, Dan. This is wonderful.
We did a survey. I think Linda said it, but this thing is wearing me out, and we've got to simplify it, or I can't do it. I'll just tell you that, because I can't even do the work of attracting the tourism when I have to do all this reporting and all this presentation stuff, and I don't even know what to present. And so, quite frankly, I'm kind of feeling burnt out.
Yes.
And after going to this tourism conference and talking to some people, the city and the committee and whoever's going to do the tourism stuff, they have to have a level of trust to where they can trust each other. And yes, you can have reports and stuff like that, but as long as a good job is happening and you're getting the stuff, you can't be wearing out the people that don't have the time anyway to be fooling around with a whole lot of this stuff. You have to have a working relationship.
Well, and I don't know if Ken understands or Ann. I know that Mike and I do. The chamber had to go out, hire someone for additional hours, and put in a whole new computer system and sign the contract. You're the only one that ever signed a contract.
Yeah.
And you were the only one that was held accountable.
Yeah. And we can do more. I mean, there needs to be more. The accountability's got to be there.
Yeah, for another 50 grand.
So I guess I want to understand a little bit more about what you're saying.
Let me do that.
Okay.
There's two other things that I think are misconceptions that are going on here. One is this racing team thing.
Mm-hmm.
That, you're looking at that as how much the graphics cost, how many this and that. I believe that should be looked at just like a radio station or a newspaper media or any kind of media. Mm-hmm. They came in with a misconception thinking they could maybe qualify for some TRT funds directly, but they are not that. They are a tool that we can use to market the website and market Lapine and give us a high profile. But it's no different than advertising on the radio, and they have a certain amount of exposure.
I mean, it's just like Stu said with his cancer truck.
Yeah. But it gets around. Now, it's even better than Stu's truck because it's not interactive, really. People just see it going around. This is an interactive tool that is like a broadcasting unit. And so when you're thinking about, if you have the idea that it's going around, it might be seen somewhere, that's no different than somebody picking up a newspaper and they might see an ad for the Rodeo or the Frontier Days or something like that. It's even better than that because it's advertising all of Lapine through another tool, which is our website, which is state-of-the-art, coming out just in time for the season, and it's a very valuable thing. And so we have all the pieces put together for an awesome season cooperatively, and I would hate to see anybody back off of that, because we've got a unique situation. We're going to get some free marketing if we do this race car thing, because it's so unique. There's nobody else is doing it. We're going to have articles, I believe, in the Oregonian, definitely in the Bulletin. It's going to probably be on TV a few places, and that's going to put Lapine on the map. Now, everybody in Lapine is not about racing, and that's not the deal, but it is a unique situation. The guy riding his mountain bike up on the hill or hiking isn't going to get that kind of exposure.
No.
And so I just think it's a real good thing. So that's one of the misperceptions. The other thing is the ORS regulations have a provision for an entity like the Visitor Center that it's their job to market and to do, it's their job to go out and do those things. And it's not, I don't, you know, the city, the tourism committee can require to see specifically how many dollars are going to which radio station and all that kind of stuff if they want to. But again, it's like a machine that you're hiring for $38,000 or whatever the number is to get the job done in the best way they know how. Now, going back to the race car, I'm passionate about this. I'm not angry. So if I go back to the race car, it's like a radio station. You don't ask the radio station, well, how much did you pay on electricity this month, and how much did you pay on the new mics, and how much did you pay on the paint job of your building? They're providing a service, and all of that is their overhead. And it's the same way with the guy's race car. Okay, it's the same way with the Visitor Center. It takes Jane and I more than half of our time, by the way, to deal with newcomers and people who are visitors and promoting tourism. But we're just for convenience, we're saying, okay, it's half of our time in our budgeting. And we don't mind, I mean, I have to talk to the board, but I don't think anybody would care if anybody saw our books. I mean, but we don't have to reveal them because we're a private nonprofit. But we're a membership nonprofit. But it's available, and we're a machine that's available to the city to market it. And so there's got to be some liberty on where we go, because right now we're planning on using probably the Horizon or Combined Communication. I can't remember the one that we've used so well.
Was Horizon, I think, is what.
And they have a large listing area outside of the 50-mile radius, and that's why they're so good. And then we want to do some advertising in Eugene and Lebanon and Albany, which is we're kind of their playground, and so that makes some sense. But we got to negotiate that, and so there's no reasonable way that I can tell you in advance what we're going to be spending on radio and what we're going to be spending on print and what we're going to be spending on TV or whatever. We do know approximately what the website is going to cost, and we know a few things, but it handicaps us and makes it less than able to give you a good job. I mean, I could tell you anything, but I don't know. I mean,
I think I understand.
You get what I'm saying?
Completely, and I felt this way last year because I felt like we really made a turn in the right direction last year when we kind of turned to the Visitor Center and said, "This is the best way. We're putting all of our eggs, a lot of our eggs, in one basket, and we're asking the Visitor Center to go and do this job." like you said, we're hiring the visitor center to promote, to do the majority of the promoting of tourism on the plane.
And we're leveraging dollars, by the way, because we're able to maybe advertise three events with one ad rather than putting them all out.
Therefore, I'm less inclined to say to you, all right, you know, which radio stations are you going to advertise on, whether it's Combined or Horizon or whatever. I mean, I've got radio on those stations every week for different clients, and I know what their reach is. But
can I ask, just throw this out, the one reason I wanted to be on the committee is to get a clearer sense of why there is a committee, of what the committee does. Because I've been involved since the very beginning, and you know, the first applications were horrendous, and it has been cleaned up somewhat, but it's still this convoluted. Is there a reason that virtually all the TRT funds don't go to the tourism center, and anybody who wants to be part of that, the karate club or whoever else comes in, you tell them to go talk to Dan at the tourism
center? Before the city, that's what it was. When it was distributed from the county.
There's a lot of cities that do it that way.
Like we were just saying, he knows who knows the newspapers, the resources, he knows where who to go to. But we don't know that. That's why Frontier Days made that decision.
But there's another part to that that some people are doing, and I really think we need to do it. And last year, I tried to put together a tourism summit. And I had some experts throughout the state that were going to come, and I kind of got shut down by COVID a little bit because that wasn't a good time for them. It seems like we're thinking about tourism right now. Well, they're big enough, they're thinking about it in the fall. And by now, they're busy ramping up, so they didn't have the time. But the way you guys are starting to go is to help give some advice and some recommendations and things to people, and how even maybe to market. And so the TRT committee really is there to talk about the dollars and what's appropriate, and it's TRT committee, it's not a tourism committee,
right.
It's a TRT committee. But we have a need for a tourism committee in this town. We need to have people from lodging and restaurants in it. We need to have people that know marketing, like Mike, and you that have been doing events here so long, and you and Linda that has a perception that's big, and so I almost see that as... I think the idea, you know, we work in
all the money
every day, we know how to maximize it, I think. But then there maybe ought to be a tourism committee within that arena that comes up with ideas. Mm-hmm. And
they tried to get us to do that, and we said that we couldn't do all of this.
Yeah.
And that too.
Well, so maybe
you weren't. I don't see why we couldn't.
But let me tell you one more thing. There is an opportunity for, and we have to work hard to get it, but there's an opportunity that the state offers for training, and it's kind of like the Ford Leadership Group. It's called Rural Tourism Studio, and it's for rural areas. Pendleton just went through it. Oak Ridge just went through it. And there's four eastern counties that just went through it together in Wallowa County. But to do it, you have to form a group of people in your town, and it probably takes 20 or 30 people to work as a group to identify that tourism is beneficial and it is important, and find the best ways to do it. And then as a group, they make some of those decisions, and you have lots of help and lots of expertise. The kind of things that you guys were, you know, are kind of trying to do a little bit, but you get outside of the little minutiae about, you know, what ORS is there. You get into how you can not only use that money, but you can leverage it and get some people in the community. They offer a grant. And there's when you get to that level, then we can do a lot more real tourism marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dan, you and I have chatted about this before, and that was when we were talking about, you know, structuring and getting a group together that determines really what it is we need, the kinds of things, quantify what we can do, and that's exactly what I have in my mind. I mean, we need to really identify what Lapine is,
and how we market
Lapine.
Mm-hmm.
We've got snowmobiling. We've got the lakes, we've got hunting.
The river.
We don't have that. We don't have a comprehensive plan or a concept of how.
We're marketing teeny pieces instead
of. That's kind of what, and it was a small group, me and Dan and Art and a few others, kind of conceived of when we started coming up with this website idea and things like that, and blending in the visitors directory and those types of things. So there's probably not a named organized group, but there are several of us who are looking at the big picture of how you do this. And you know, you said in previous years the committee said you can't do it. Well, guess what? We don't meet from July 1st to January 15th. I mean, there's no reason we couldn't spend a little of that time.
Well, it can be.
Well, I think
I mean, you need to get part of it.
Same members of the.
And that's sure more of what I'd like to do is instead of dispersing these funds in these little increments. I'd like to see it. Give it to the one organization in our town that knows how to spend it. And then give them, as a tourism committee, give them the recommendation. Say, you know, let's come up with a new logo and a new banner, and then let's market that. And I'd rather be on that kind of idea kind of committee instead of dispersing funds.
One of your biggest areas of heartburn is the whole reporting and application and all that kind of stuff. So
and I'm not saying we don't need it, but it's maybe we need more manpower if we're going to require it, or if we're going to have to. Now see.
What if we're as simple as, you know, going to a model kind of like you suggested, where, you know, the city designates one entity to kind of, you know, they're hiring the visitor center to do this, which I think we've shown over last year, and certainly putting things together this year. Is working pretty good.
That's actually what we're heading to.
So
the car club's now already on board with you. The Trent Racing thing. I mean, we keep telling people to go see Dan.
So what if we were able to make a recommendation that, you know, you come in and meet with the TRT committee, let's say on a quarterly basis, once a quarter, and give a readout.
Kind of give a report,
Give a readout. And well, obviously there's regulatory needs for oversight.
Well, what do you think about the idea of having this advisory tourism group in the area, people, stakeholders, that...
I like the idea of a tourism advisory group. I see it kind of like almost a parallel, although with a different purpose, type of group, like the Ford Leadership Group. The two different groups have two different purposes. One, the tourism, you know, this new thing that you're talking about is more of a conceptual, let's roll up our sleeves and figure out how we can bring some more bugs in the city, and how can we bring in, Redwood Inn and have them build a hotel so we can put more bugs in the city.
But I don't see it that way. I see that group. Maybe not in the beginning. I don't see it that way. I see that group needing to quantify what we are as a location for tourism.
Yeah,
a destination.
And that's it.
Okay.
And you get 20 people together, and you get some full leadership type training, and some understanding about that. And once you get that, this is our concept for the next 5 years of how we're going to approach getting people here to all that kind of stuff.
That's it.
Now, That other piece comes later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But you've got to set up some kind of framework or a concept of these are the things we're going to market.
It's kind of
like should be marketing.
It's kind of like a strategic planning.
Mm-hmm.
Team.
That's it.
For tourism for the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's how you're going to look at it for the next. We have a comp plan, so we're looking at 20 years out there. You can't do anything in 5 years, so you're going to have to say a little longer period of time. But this bringing it to a point where you're saying, okay, we're looking out there 20 years, and these are our assets, and we need to decide how we're going to fit this in the how the pine wants to be, how are we going to, you know,
yeah.
Look down the road, and how it can really improve or bring money into.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's something that probably we might want to chat about offline, and maybe talk to the the same board kind of oversees the Chamber and the Tourism Center, and kind of talk at that level as well, and then reach out and have a few more coffee clatters and just kind of talk about it and say, okay, let's...
Is there anything in the statute that says there has to be a TRT committee?
Oh, bless your heart. Well, bless your heart for going there, because
I think I assumed early on that that was something state mandated that said, yes, you have to have this, and this is what they have to do.
In the beginning, there was a city. There was a budget committee. And we started talking about this. We set up these three or four people, and Jeremy got in the center of it, and they actually almost turned into their own little city council.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see it going out in space. It got so blown out of proportion in my mind and several others about what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And of course Ken dealt with that for a couple of years and then stepped back and came back in later, and I didn't like the look of it when I was elected last time. But I agree, I think the TRT shouldn't be any more than a TRT committee, very narrow. I'm not ready to say yet, and the reason for that is you made some other comments a while ago, and of course my memory's short enough that I don't remember what they are now. But I think if we're going to have one, it needs to be around the fact of handling the applications or that portion of it, and there's so much more for me to understand between what the tourism center is doing and what the TRT is. See, the TRT is nothing more than a committee that advises the city council.
Mm-hmm.
To get anywhere past that, you're gonna have some troubles.
Yeah.
And to take on any other jobs of helping tourism or sitting down with people and helping them figure out how they could do better jobs, or maybe how they could plan to be stepping outside of into that kind of realm is really outside of what I see the TRT committee's.
I agree. I think in its barest bones form, a TRT committee disperses funds.
They've
taken on the job of trying to help people make applications that can qualify, when we really aren't even quite sure ourselves how much
that's it, good how to find it.
And then the other piece of that is you don't know how much is coming in. So people ask for certain amounts, and that's not what they end up getting, because you don't know how, where it's all pie in the sky, you know, at this point. We're saying, yes, you can have it, but we don't know what it's going to be.
And you've got a set of rules here that are dubious in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I agree.
So,
And any applications that came in, I think people could still apply if there was ones that didn't know to go to Dan, and you say, well, this is, you know, take this, go to the tourism center. Just make it known that that's where you go. If you have something that's marketing in Lapine and you want to advertise it out of the area, then that's where you need to go.
And this 34-day period of that you can qualify in, where'd that come from? Where did 34 days come from? That's ridiculous.
You mean from March until...
Well, from February 14th to March 18th.
Oh, okay.
I mean, to me it's ridiculous. Maybe if I got it explained to me,
well,
and I understood it a little better, maybe I wouldn't say that. Mm-hmm. But on the surface of me reading it more than once, thinking, wow, you know,
mm-hmm.
why isn't it January the 1st to April the 14th?
Well, the other thing that I don't know how it got set up is the quarterly disbursements, because it comes in monthly.
Oh, does it? Okay, I didn't know that.
For us, it creates a budget to try and track,
yes.
because
sure.
from month to month, you've got this spike, and then you've got two non-incomes, and then you have a spike, and then 2 months with no income.
Uh-huh.
And if you do get into some contracts where you're doing consistent marketing, you know, and stuff,
mm-hmm.
then it's harder.
Yeah.
The only reason that I think it was set up is because the city didn't have much staff, and they thought it'd be less checks to have to write.
Yeah.
You know, quite frankly, you asked a good question, because one of the things we talked about at one of our first meetings this year was, you know, the city operates on this, you know, July to June fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
However, the unfortunate part of the fact is that most of our big money events also happen in the middle of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we talked about currently, one of the things we talked about was possibly changing that around, where the application period is, let's say,
1 January?
I'm thinking August to December 31st. That way, if you're walking in here as the head of Frontier Days, you know on January 1 what you've got to work with for that year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know that you're going to have to, you know, there's a budgeting time, but that's...
Well, like Dan was saying early on when we started telling us all the issues. The first year I tried filling out the application, they wanted specifics like who you would advertise with and how much you were going to spend.
Mm-hmm.
And you really have no way of knowing that for next year. And especially in an organization like Frontier Days, all the money comes in as sponsors, and it all comes in just really in the months before the event. If we have enough, we'll spend it. If we don't have it, we won't spend it. So it really was all a figment of our imagination of what we really thought we could do. But then on the other hand, you grant us money, but we don't know how much that's going to be. And then it doesn't start coming in until afterward. So you have,
it's
very confusing.
Car Club told us last week that they were good for this year.
Yeah. That they had all the money they needed to put on
the
budget.
They raised enough that they needed to do. So the question arises, is it makes sense to say, okay, go forth and do a good job, and let's take whatever money we have and give it to somebody who we think will bring in extra bots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, a lot of the reasons that things are done in this committee, and probably a lot of other committees, the way they are, is because, at least the time that I've been on this committee, we have never once received any direction from the city council saying, we want you to only look at this. So, that's your right and your role as a city councilor. And quite frankly, I don't care what the parameters are. I'm just here to kind of serve the community and do what the city council wants me to do. That being said, my mind thinks like a marketing guy. So when I have somebody come in and say, hey, that's a neat idea, I'm the kind of guy who says, well, maybe there's some help that could be done. if you're going to ask to just stay within this very, very, very narrow corridor that only deals with money and things like that.
Yeah, you're asking us to act like accountants, and there's none of this all.
I'm a conceptual guy. I'm a marketing guy. I think
I understand
in a bigger way than that.
You got to. That's all valid, and you can't deny that being a way of a person wanting to be involved in something because he knew his talents, okay?
Mm-hmm. Now, frankly, that's why I was
concerned. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because when I was interviewed by the previous city council, there were three of us, me and Justin and Linda.
Yeah.
And we all came in and they said, well, tell us about yourselves, what do you do, what do you know, why are you here, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I'm a marketing guy, I'm a conceptual guy. And the council said, oh, well, we want you. Mm-hmm. That's a good idea to have somebody like that on there.
Mm-hmm. But nothing in this allows you to utilize it. That's not what we're here for.
Exactly. I think that might just resonate back to the fact that my comments about I don't think the last couple of years there's been a level of council understand your involvement.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was needed.
Well, we did a really good job and made it real easy for them because here was the budget and it all came out. And you just voted. I mean, you weren't on it, but the council was at the time just voted on it.
And just to let you know why I'm here tonight, I've had the TRT meeting on my calendar ever since I've been sworn in. Because it has been a major thing in my head about something needs to be looked, that needs to be looked at again in full focus. But every time you had a meeting, something came up. And now
in your calendar.
What?
We checked your calendar.
Yeah.
But anyway. I think what Dan talked about is absolutely essential, and that needs marketing people.
And I think we have a lot more people
and the mics, and especially the chambers. Chambers got to be in the center of this, and anybody else around here. Some motel people.
The motel owners are not around here. They hire a manager that barely speaks English. I mean,
yeah, I know.
We have beat the streets.
Restaurants and everything.
But we need Brian in here. Brian would be a good one. He has a motel and a gas station.
Right.
Yeah. And some of those people like that are, vested locally.
Right. Well, and I think if you approach them, maybe they had a better sense than certainly we did of what the committee's all about, and they didn't want to be a bunch of number crunchers. But maybe they've got great ideas, and maybe those ideas are specific to their little thing, but that's okay. It could go into the mix.
Yes.
I'm inclined to think that the council needs to revisit how it's all being done, and the TRT committee's responsibilities.
That's the visitor center's role, I think.
Yes, but let me go back to this point that Mike made, which is absolutely valid. You get the car club come in. We don't need any money this year. Wait a minute. Now my beginning intuition is that how do you know that? And there's a mic sitting here.
Yeah.
When you said that, my instant thought was, well, I'd like to know what you're doing about advertising in Eugene.
Well, and
and these other car clubs.
That's what we finally said to them. Well, listen, if you had an extra bunch of money, what would you do?
Yeah, okay, I mean that's almost exactly what we were asking. Because they may think that they're doing great and they've got it all in
well, they're happy with where they're at.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If they took a little bit more money and they did a few more things.
And that's what
just the simple money. You know what I'm talking about.
But see, that's the thing. Here's the deal. It's kind of like everybody's operating in their own little silo. Mm-hmm. Okay?
That's true.
Now,
that's true.
We've got Car Club. We've got radio. We've got Frontier Ways. We got Jade's Jazz. We got whatever else. But what we've tried to do is put them all under this umbrella of the Visitor Center, because somebody's got to be watching the big picture.
Right.
Because and see, that's what the deal is. The Car Club, they don't give a darn about anybody else. They just know, I've got my blinders on, I'm covered for this year, I don't like dealing with anything else other than my stuff. Dan finally convinced him, you need to come work with us so that we can help leverage everything else that's going on in town. And so,
every event will be marketing every other event.
When we had the Car Club tied to Frontier Days, it was big business. It really was.
But that goes to the just that little narrow world.
But separating it from tying is good because did you see how many beds we have here?
Half the members.
We have about
4th of July weekend.
70 beds. And so separating out event. See, people are being successful in tourism. They have at least one event a month. And then sometimes two a month. So the work is spreading it out. So they have filled motels up all the time.
Every weekend.
I'll be honest with you. And this isn't my job as the chairman of the member crunching TRT committee. But this is my overarching big picture view. I think it would be cool if the city took some TRT money or some kind of money and leveraged it to get some other money. Get the downtown cleaned up a little bit. like they've done in Granville. Like they've done in Manders.
Let me finish my thought.
Yeah. And I know that there's a lot to do with ordinances and things like that. But there's no better draw to a city or an area than having people drive through and thinking,
I'm going to stop there.
This looks pretty cool.
You know, that's actually, believe it or not,
it is.
Stay tuned.
Whether that's my role as a TRT guy or not, it comes from my 50,000 foot view. So to that point, you can sign me up.
We all want to see the pine.
What you're talking about, actually, stay tuned, because that is not lost on the people who can make that happen.
Yeah.
It's not lost. As a matter of fact, there are many methods to approach that, and some of them are being bantied around in behind the scenes, and it's better to do it that way and then move along. Yeah. So, boy, that's, you know what? You took the words right out of your
mouth. We kind of got off on a tangent.
Okay.
And it was probably a good tangent to have.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'd like to ask you is, where would you like to go from here?
Maybe if I could just skim through some of the stuff I gave you real quick.
Okay.
Because, honestly, I'd love to give you the amount of time that you need to present your...
Well, yeah, and I need to know from the committee what else they might need, you know, because I'm not real clear, but let me just go through this thing real quick.
on the phone, I just kind of put some stuff. Like the Frontier, I called them and found out that they have a 7,000 print circulation per week. 50% of that is being distributed outside of the 50-mile radius.
Oh, good.
So they're shooting up to Redmond and above Bend, Redmond and Prineville, Madras, and up in that area, and then out to Christmas Valley and stuff. The Wise Buys, on the other hand, is distributing more, 10,000, but only 20% of theirs is going out, so beyond that 50-mile radius. And the Eagle is doing about 8,000, and only about 25% of those is going out in that area. So, anyway, that's interesting. The Bulletin is
very interesting.
The Bulletin is a good place to be, but, and they have a fair amount of the publication that's outside of the 50-mile radius, but I'm not sure that it's going to be a real big percentage because they have such a large distribution, and I don't know the numbers yet. Radio, we've had good luck with combined communications, and that we're inclined to continue to use them. They give us a good deal. They do some trade-outs and things where it works to help amp up and multiply the abilities that the Radio and Frontier Days has. I would like to kind of target Eugene and Albany and Lebanon, because we're their playground, and so I'm looking at that, and I think the country radio stations is the one, especially for the Frontier Days and Rodeo times. This Elliott Racing thing is an awesome thing, and I know that everybody doesn't get that, but if there's nothing we get out of that other than meeting Russ Elliott, because now he's engaged in Lapine. And he sees an avenue where he can put some of his marketing ideas to work. He's just as interested in Frontier Days tripling as he is anything else. In fact, he told me not to tell you this, but he's going to, whether you guys are going to bless him or not, he's going to do his best to promote Lapine. So he's looking. We're looking at having a big billboard going down the highway with his trailer, with his car, with the guy that's on the track with announcements and saying what's coming up next in Lapine, wherever he's at. He's going to park his car on the main drag in the towns where he's on the way to the races. We're going to help him coordinate. I got one of my volunteers that's going to call ahead and say, how would you like to have a shiny black race, brand new race car sitting in your front yard for 4 hours on that Friday night when rush hour traffic's going home? And they'll see Lapine, visit lapine.com all over it. He's got to have these fold-up display boards that will sit beside the car, so if somebody's walking by, they can get a brochure, one of our brochures, it's visitor brochures. And then, this guy is trick. And if you pull back a page there, there's a page that I blew up. It's this one here. That's double sized, but that's this little card here. You see them. They're discounts. And it was, so he's going to get, I'm going to work with him, and we're going to go around town. We're going to get motels and pizza places here in town. This is going to be filled with people that will give discounts.
We're only going to get a Baskin Robbins.
But we're going to try to get these guys, and these guys that participate in this, they'll get something that looks a lot like this on the side of this car.
Yeah.
So they're getting this double exposure. So they're motivated to, and so what happens is, on the front of this car is going to be a picture of his race car, and the driver, and on the back, says visit Lapine and get a discount on this two rooms for the price of one or whatever it is, you know, those kind of things. And I know people will go for it. The people will love it. Let's see, there's something related to that. I mean, this guy has so many ideas; it's incredible, and he's right on too. He understands marketing, and I want him to be on our bigger group, advisory group, if we get it going, because he is very sharp. Oh, the other thing, on the front, he wants everybody, and if we have to take some TRP funds to do it, to have a card just like this with the front 2 days on the front, and with the rodeo on the front, the bucking bronc with one of the cool photos, and the Jade Jowls with the guy with the horn, and each one of them will have this collector's card that they hand out at their event, inviting people to come back and get a deal. And that was his idea, and I think it's great. We're kind of inclined to making these a little bigger. You know how the baseball cards used to be, the collector's cards, and we'd have baseball cards, and people could have a collection of Lapine but
don't forget, they carry those in their billfold.
That's true, they have to fit in the billfold.
Yeah, we need to do that too.
I think business card size would be best.
Business card size, yeah. And that's about what that is. Inside the package there, I just have some stuff that I thought might be interesting. Oh, look at this here.
Yes, I want to know about that.
Okay, this is, our leadership group is working on a sign, and this will be placed down by the log house, and there will be something probably similar in the park by the library. This is not exactly what the sign looked like. We're going to try to make it a little taller so it doesn't get blocked by somebody parking their pickup in front of it. But it'll be something to change out events, and it'll be a good reminder for our local people. Oh yeah, Frontier Days is this weekend, or you know, the crab feed is coming up, and so we can trade it out. So we just kind of keep the maybe six or so events. Wing California was the innovation, you know, the idea behind this, because they have something similar. I mean, theirs is 20 feet tall, and it's an awesome thing. Mm-hmm. And if our sign codes were allowed, I'd say go as tall as we can so that it can be seen. If you're going to do it, you might as well go bigger than that.
We don't have any sign codes.
What about putting it down by the city hall? Could we make it bigger if we put it out on that park?
Yeah, I don't care where it is. As long as
it's better to have it by the visitor center.
But it's so congested and you're driving by.
We don't come in here.
This is a permanent sign, and if I can just take one moment. We need a chamber in a different place, okay? And if the chamber's in a different place, does the log cabin go with it?
The log cabin was given to the chamber.
I know. So if you plant that over here, and you guys find a place to move to next year,
well, if our budget would allow us to. We're working on a real tight budget, but if we can do that, yeah.
It can be moved.
Carol's really good to it.
I know.
You know, if you find somebody else to be that good to it. Yeah. I'm all for it.
Yeah,
it's a tough spot.
So anyway, this is the Fire Leadership Group that's putting this together. Oh, by the way, before I forget, that World Tourism Studio, one of the... They have kind of a point system where you apply for a grant to get them to come in and help you. One of the things that really helps cinch that is if you've had the Ford Leadership Group already doing programs. So they value that. The person that's leading that used to be a facilitator for a Ford group. Okay. I put in here the race car stuff that you guys saw before. This sheet here is just this is kind of a tally that we do in the visitor center on number of visitors and that kind of thing that we have. This was the year end for 2010. It shows that we had 1,151 phone calls, 1,052 walk-ins, 2 international visitors, the people walked in from out of the country, relocation packages, welcome bags, all that stuff. What you got to know about this, as hard as I try, my volunteers only put about 1 out of 3 in here. They just don't have time or don't remember to do it.
Don't you do millions on your website?
Oh yeah, big hits on the website. Yeah.
What, Dan? Have you ever tried, or is a chamber ever tried, kind of just a sign-in book? What I mean, what if we took like a podium or a lectern or something like that and just put it where they could almost trip over it? In the door.
That's pretty much there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right. They can't look at the material and not see it.
Right.
Okay. And so it's pretty filled up. I mean, if there's a lot of people that have signed in. Yeah. It's interesting to look and see. It came from the UK. It came from
Ireland. I looked at it. And I just didn't know if there was a different way we could.
That might be another way. We did used to have it on the little thing in front of the desk there, but it was hard to see. That might be a better way. This other big world tour thing you see here, this is turning out to be a really neat thing. And so what we decided to do is get all of our volunteers and staff out to see. So we did the tour. We came down and saw City Hall, then we went to the New City, we went down to the Sheriff's Station, and the Sheriff Deputy talked to us, and went down to the Community Kitchen and Mid-State Electric. We toured their building, and it's a Leeds building. I don't know if you guys have been there. The dispatch center they have is incredible. They have GPS. They can tell where every truck is. They can tell where outages are. We went out to the cemetery. All around. So when people come in, they're knowledgeable. You know how easy it is to live here forever and not... Mm-hmm. Every tour of the Mid-State building.
Oh, well, right. You know, and when we were at Gil's funeral, there were people who didn't know where the cemetery was.
That's right.
Yeah, I know, there's always.
So Terry's helping me. We're doing six of these, I think, almost each week, and you guys are invited to come along anytime. We're doing them on Tuesdays. But here's the first two. We did the one, we're doing the next one next Tuesday, and we're going up to some of the motels and meet some of the people there, and the Les Schwab, and the RV Resort, and Thousand Trails, and Quillen, and Diamond Stone. And the cool thing is that this turns into a handout that we give all the people moving to town or need to know something about town. So we're going to have a compiled sheet list of these six information pieces that will give people all these references to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is good for locals, it's good for visitors, it's good for tourism. And it takes time. It takes us about 3.5 hours to go do these tours, but it's well invested. And Prairie House last time took us around in their bus, and that helped us develop a better relationship with them. Then they toured us around Prairie House, and that was fun. Ben Bowman, I asked Karen to put together. I was curious, who comes to this Ben Bowman? Because it's kind of one of those tournament things, and you're wondering, okay, what should we do? We just gave him $500 last time as a sponsor because we didn't know what to do with him. And then I felt like that was my prerogative as a visitor center because I'm promoting tourism, people coming to town, and we did it. There's 42 people from Bend, and there's 24 from Lapine, and the rest are all from more than 50-mile radius. 367 shooters. And they bring their spouse. And they bring their kids.
Where was this at?
Ogden Campground.
Ogden
Campground.
And Karen told me about
that. And so she gave me this, and I thought it was pretty neat. That's 17.9% that are from a 50-mile radius and beyond. And it brought people into our area. Mm-hmm. And they come in and get gas, and a few of them stay the night, some of them camp, in an all camp. But it's that kind of statistics that help us know. Now, if we have a group and we could say, well, that's worth putting some money in. Let's help them build that. Mm-hmm. Let's turn it into a 2 or 3 day event, you know, or whatever. I think it's already a 2 day event.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. So, not knowing exactly what I need to bring in, I just kind of threw this stuff together as to kind of let you know
some
of the effort we're doing. And this dedicated website is going to be awesome. It's awesome, awesome, awesome.
The tourism website.
Yeah, it's taken a little while to get it right, but it's going to be a very good tool to get under this umbrella so that everybody can. Now, that's one thing we can do. We can tell the tournament guys, well, at least we can help market you on the website. We can do that. I don't see any problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody can get a benefit from those kind of investments.
Mm-hmm.
So from here, I just need to know what else I need to do, because I don't know.
Didn't we get a numbers page from you at some point?
The original application had all that.
Yeah, has that changed at all?
With the introduction of the race car media, it probably would, but you know, what I was hoping to do, and what I think we still can do on that, is take a piece of the marketing from each of the groups and just use that old marketing. So maybe we'll do a little less radio and a little race car. A little less meat print and a little race car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, speaking for myself, I certainly like to know, how people are doing things, but I think that the visitor center over the last couple of years has evolved as this entity that, like you said, this is the group that you hire to promote tourism in the city. And I think it's certainly our job to do the due diligence. So I think that it's probably best to circle back around and because we have to have an accurate representation of the numbers, that's probably the next thing we ought to. And then the other thing this committee needs to do is we need to take a look at the numbers over the last year or so and see, okay, what kind of budget are we dealing with so that we can make a recommendation to the council.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Will we get corrected applications and or disfigures? We don't need applications, just that.
I would like to review it and get a little closer, and it might give me a chance. I don't know when the next meeting would be, but it might give me a chance to negotiate a little bit on some of these radio spots and things.
Yes.
I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody in Eugene or Albany or Lebanon on that, and that's my little bit of a unknown factor. But you know, it's kind of like Anne was saying, you kind of work with what you got.
I don't, quite frankly, don't need that. Because I know how difficult it is to try to predict what it is you're going to do. I think that, in my mind, the lump sums work well, because I know you're going to spend that money as wisely and as efficiently as you can.
I need to get reports.
I know.
And, actually, I got really busy right after the end of the year, and I still owe a report that I haven't given yet—a semi-annual report. It's not final, but that is a necessary thing. I want whoever's doing this needs to give a report of what was spent, and you know, at least in broken out, and like we do, you know, just a good.
Well, and I'd like to see that just as for going into, you know, the next period of time. But as far as you laying out to receive the funds, as far as you laying out what you predict doing, I don't need to see that.
What about you, Linda?
No, I just want an updated this. You need so much to run the tourism center, and you're going to do this media, and tourism is going to pay for half of it, and you're going to find, they're going to find funds someplace else to do the rest of it. That's
full print.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Full print.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what we need.
Okay.
All right. Well, we've
sorry, it took so much time.
It's fun, though.
Are you good with us kind of picking up a little bit more on process and things at our next meeting?
Yeah, which may be a new point if we don't do it next year. Okay. But, I mean, you know.
Well, I guess, that, you know, we're far enough, I guess, into the process this year that I suppose we make that.
I quite frankly, I think it's probably a... it's a good discussion. I think it's probably something that we do towards the end of our cycle this time.
Well, the only point I was going to make is, and it's up to the committee, it's not up to me, we always got the applications, they were emailed to us as they came in, so that we could read ahead of time, mm-hmm. and we were prepared for that first meeting. And our first meeting was just sitting around and saying, well, I found this, and I'm not sure if that qualifies, so we'd highlight some stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we'd know before we ever started the interview process and inviting them to give us more specifics, kind of where we were going to come from. It was just kind of a heads-up, kind of quiet meeting.
Well, and maybe that's part my fault for just scheduling a meeting so quickly after the application deadline, because I felt like we wanted to have an opportunity to just get into it as much as possible. So
what is the time frame for handing the recommendations over to the City Council?
Well, we need to do it. I would like to get it done by around, you know, probably before Memorial Day.
Yeah.
That does a couple of things.
Because I think you're in a big crunch all of June.
Well, they've got to prepare a fiscal year budget. Uh-huh. So this needs to blend into the budget. Now, unless something else changes, they know X amount's going to go out to TRT, and it really boils down to our recommendation is just that, a recommendation. The city can do whatever they darn well please. They can say, well, here's what we want to do.
That's right. We can say, yeah, give them $62,000, and the city says, you know, give them $80,000.
Yeah, or we'll give them nothing.
Or we'll go, yeah. Or Dan's on his own, sorry.
So,
it's going to be picking up the can.
Yeah.
out of kind of a courtesy to the city, I would like to do it before Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that we probably need to kind of try to get things wrapped up close to that next time with you. And then maybe
well, because there's no other applications so coming in other than Dan's.
Yeah, really.
We got our attendance.
The car club is now, you know.
Then I see we have two more meetings, maybe three, before
okay.
we make a recommendation
right.
to the city. We have one to kind of wrap up numbers and such with Dan. We have another one to determine what kind of budget we're dealing, because part of the thing that's been bestowed on us is to give a ballpark number to Dan, the visitor center, how much we're looking at. It never ends up that way because you know, the money changes every.
And how are we going to base that on what we received last year?
Well, kind of. That's what we did last year.
Uh-huh.
We kind of put together those numbers. And,
I think
and
the bookkeeper can do that.
Pardon?
I think our bookkeeper can do
yeah.
that for you.
And then
no year to date.
Yeah. And then we just need to put together a presentation. And you know, last year Art asked me to do it, and I read that, and we met, and we went through it, and I made a few tweaks, and then we made a presentation to the city at the next city council meeting.
So the city council meeting before Memorial Day is what day, Ben?
Well, I don't know. Change the
liquor fund. Memorial Day is the 30th of May.
So you've got two, actually. You've got a work session on the end of the month. Here's May. The meeting is the 11th, and then the work session is on the 25th.
Okay. Well, we can't do it on the 11th. That's just, we're not going to make that time frame. So it makes sense to me that we either shoot for the 25th.
I would recommend the 25th because it's a work session. It allows us to talk about it freely,
mm-hmm.
and then bring it back on the on June
8th,
the 8th,
mm-hmm.
for a vote.
Yeah,
because I don't think something as big and as important as this is something you could come to on a regular session and want us to vote on it.
And
looking at budget and everything like that, where it's going to go to,
mm-hmm.
you know, and have to mm-hmm. be turned in, that's the only thing you got is the 25th, and then...
Mm-hmm. I mean, the bottom line is, from a budget perspective, we don't have any control over that.
Right.
All we're doing is making recommendations to the council as to how the money that they've placed in this TRT budget of money is appropriated. And basically what we're going to come and do is say, okay, we think it's going to be this much money. We're going to recommend that you get it to the visitor center, and here's how they're looking at making things happen. That's pretty much how it works, and at that work session, if we want to sit down and say, okay, you guys are with a couple of things about how things are done. Let's talk about that, and let's talk about what kind of direction we want to go for in the future or whatever. Then we'll talk about that too.
Yeah, and I think the council would want to hear things like how you feel about how TRT is working. How you know, from the board of the committee of how TRT could be done better, could be more friendly, could be what all of those
user friendly.
Well, yeah. All those words that would describe how you currently feel about it, that gives the council an opportunity to say, well, you know what, we need to think about this. And maybe you make some recommendations for changes or improvements or broadening or narrowing or whatever. Because that's really what your job is, as I see it, is you're going to come to us with ideas and suggestions and comments that will have us thinking about and doing something about, which I don't think has been done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how's set up? Cinco de Mayo.
So, that's on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to make this?
I thought we were going to go get burritos.
Well, we can do that too.
That was my response. No, they can't be what he's talking about. Well, my thought was more like margaritas instead of margaritas.
Do we have to do it on a Thursday? Or can
we're getting to it.
Are we just going to stick to Thursdays?
Well, I think 4 or 5 people.
I don't know. 4 couples.
Well, then let's not have it then if we're going to. Can we change it to
Well, we can't do Wednesdays. Because the council's in here almost every Wednesday.
Okay. I just have to go. Well, this meeting room is being used for something else. We wouldn't get it anyway. So any other meetings that we need to go to are on there. Okay.
And I guess that there was something on there. What is
Tuesdays?
That?
Tuesdays, we've got some.
Wednesday the 4th?
No, on the 5th.
Well, that's till LCAT at noon.
No.
On the 5th.
Well, let's do that.
The 4th is open.
Is there anything, do we want to meet anytime?
That's
you need
Wednesday.
More time, is that right?
Well,
that gives him 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's
fine. Oh, okay, so we just won't have any more this month. That would be good.
Yeah, it would be good.
So we could do the 4th instead of the 5th. Would that work? Does Wednesdays work for you if this room is open?
Yeah, I mean, whatever you
that
got.
Would work, that would
does that work better for you guys?
Mm-hmm. It works better for me. How about you, Linda?
Yeah, 4th would be fine.
All right.
5:30?
May 4th, 5:30.
Are we okay with you, Patty?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
And we better schedule some more.
And the agenda is, just so you don't have to email me, the agenda is to review the presentation from the Visitor Center.
Okay.
And then we need to schedule probably at least one more just to see how we're feeling about that. And I would suggest that we try to do it the next week.
What's the next week, Ken?
What's that?
That would be the 11th.
The 11th on Wednesday.
That's the city council.
On a Thursday.
Oh, what else is open?
Well, Tuesday is Liggy. From 2:30 to 4:30.
The 12th is open, though.
The 12th is that's or taps till 5:15. So
that's
taps
right.
The,
we could do.
Yeah. We could do the 12th.
The 12th.
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right.
You wanna mark it?
Yep, please.
Yeah, let's do the 12th. And then I would suggest that we decide where to go from there. Does that work for you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's good. We should be able to.
So there's some stuff we may be able to do, by email or what have you, but we don't need to take up a meeting room for it.
Yeah. I like that idea, Linda, of how the city does it so that you get to look at something first. But I can also understand how you can be getting started in a year and new council and all that kind of stuff and new members, right?
Of the committee?
You're new on the board.
No, I've been since 2007.
I'm Justin's new and Linda Smith's new.
Yeah.
See some new people and stuff like that. But it's like us. We get a packet on the Wednesday before the following Wednesday meeting. Wednesday or Thursday, and you get to go through everything, the consent agenda and all that kind of stuff, and it makes a difference, right, Dan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of hard when you have a meeting every week, but...
TRT meeting? Or?
Mm-hmm. I mean, because we've had 3 weeks consecutive, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. Seems like it.
I'm track. I just come here and everybody's phones out there waiting you off.
No. I meant that that's how the council does it.
So good to be back.
But even if it's 2 days ahead of time.
Yeah. We need to have time to just look at it so you're not just, whoa. I mean, like, the race car took me, all of us. Who are they? What do they do?
Yeah.
How does this? We can't pay for fuel.
I'm
I mean, we were just. Well, I'm like, when they came in about that bill for Pine Forest up by Sun River, and that took up an hour, the CAG group came, because they were all against it, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And Stu said, you can't, we can't, none of us know where this goes. Mm-hmm. And Dan said at the final ending, after an hour, we need to see the, hear the other side of the story, too.
We need to, yeah, I know. That was interesting.
And see, the thing you have to understand about
we don't know what this
that
is.
Approach is that if you guys are willing to meet every week, you can table things and put things on the agenda and things like that. I'm not willing to do that. That's not what I signed up for. I don't think that's what you guys signed up for, meeting every week from January.
No, but some of this stuff, if it just hits us, okay, we're going to do this, and we just vote on it right then and there, then you go back and you say, now, wait a minute, that's not really good thinking here, because...
Well, I think, excuse me, but I think you were just talking about meeting so regular, not so much... about giving the information.
Yeah, I mean, I think the point that Linda makes is a good one. You know, it's great to be able, I mean, I'd love to do that with the chamber, but we just only have so many people who can do things. I'd love to get a chamber agenda out so that everybody can review it. We usually get about a couple of days ahead of time.
Oh, that's fine.
You know, if we met every week, then we could say, okay, next week we're going to work on this. So that means that say, tomorrow, Patty could have the bookkeeper send us all the information on the numbers. And then, you know, we know that we're going to study and work for it next week. I'm sorry, I'm working 70 hours a week right now at my day job.
We all are.
So that's a absolute paramount consideration about, you know, we all got to make a living, and we've got family, and those come first. So.
And I wrote an article at the end of December to put in the January Eagle to say, hey, folks, come on out. We'd like to have a few qualified people to join the committee.
You did get Joseph Garcia.
Well, we got Joseph Garcia.
Where is Joseph?
I don't know.
He's actually now the graphics designing piece of Newberry Eagle.
But I haven't seen him at any meetings.
Well, he hasn't been here. So
his home base is Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
And he has to do a great deal of traveling because of.
Thank you, Patty.
You're welcome.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. And thank you, Mayor, for coming.
We can agree that we're on Jerry Hall, right?
Do you have a
reason? Is it breakfast?
Yeah.
Lunch, yes.